All right, hello humans, welcome to this exclusive Audio Face non-members content, because what the fuck are members? We talk to humans because that's what we do. But over 100 episodes ago, Jesus Christ, that really just hit me. We've been doing this for 2.5 years. Why? I don't know. We do this for the people. But anyways, over 100 episodes ago, we talked about everybody's favorite Scientologist, Ayaan Beck. Even though Scientology is crazy, Beck makes good music, and he should continue to make good music, but caution to it. So, along with our reviews of Beck's previous works, we stitched together the actual album review of Colors itself, so that way you can get a whole broad spectrum of all of the albums that we talked about, so you can get an idea, big level ideas of all the stuff from Beck. It has music samples that were not in the original episodes because we have updated our technology from there. And this was the first of many deep dives we did to artists, from Gorillaz to XXXTentacion to Taishan, whatever you want to call him. Definitely not rest in peace, he needs to be dead, rotting in hell. And swimming in lava. But all the organics seem to like it, so that's why we're doing it. Next week, we're doing the Coldplay one, because this album from Beck and Coldplay are coming out in 2 weeks, but we want to do one this week and one next week, because we like the organics. We like y'all. And definitely follow us on all the socials at AudioFacePod, me at SW Suarez, and all the stuff. Follow me and shit, because I trust you guys for the time being. And Dan from at Dan from the web and Twitter, and Dan from the internet on Instagram. So he's happy, he's smiling right now, because I actually know the plugs and shit. YouTube, what am I gonna try? It's whatever. Find it on there.
Hello, humans. Welcome.
Hi.
To this special episode of Audio Face. I'm Dan.
I'm John.
Hi. And this is a special episode because next week, Beck is going to be releasing, I didn't even count it, but he's made a lot of albums, but he's going to be releasing his newest album, Colors. It's the first one since Morning Phase, and Beck's first album came out in, I believe, what's the year? 1993. And so Beck has changed a lot since then, and there's a lot to go through, and so I decided, we're thinking that because Beck has this huge discography, we're gonna experiment with this, pre-show, run-through for artists who, have long discographies that we haven't, talked
and
about.
And then artists that we really like and want you to get a sense of what they are before they release new shit.
Exactly.
So that you get a sense of what we're gonna say on next podcast.
Yeah, because
that you need to listen to.
Absolutely. In addition to reviewing Beck, we'll also be talking about Wu-Tang Clan and Gucci Mane, so definitely listen to that. But we're going to be referencing a lot of Beck's older music, and so it's important that you understand that context, and also just, check out Beck, because I think he's an artist worth checking out, at least to some extent.
He's really good.
So, let's just do, a quick bio. So, Beck, real name Beck David Campbell, went just by Beck Hansen for a while, but just Beck, right? He's gone through a lot of different, phases. I guess most, what I think of him as, I think what most people would call Beck would be alternative rock.
Yeah, for the most part. He's also experimented with spoken word stuff and borderline rap and acoustic. He's, done it all.
His earlier years, in the 90s, were more, Wikipedia calls it anti-folk, but I kind of just call it,
anti-folk?
Antifa? Bees? No. The best way I can describe it respectfully is white trash rock and rap. No, but I don't mean that in a bad way, but Beck was trying to embrace that kind of trailer park, kind of ratchet aesthetic in Mellow Gold, which was the first album I heard of Beck. So kind of get into it. So Mellow Gold came out in 1994. Beck had two other albums that came out. Golden Feelings and Stereopathic Soul Manure were Beck's first albums in 1993 and 1994. Those ones weren't, super popular, and he was, just kind of getting out there. But from what I remember of it, and, I didn't really listen to those too much, but it was just, this weird alt-rock kind of thing that was kind of making fun of Americana. It was kind of, making light at these, aspects of American culture. And that was just, how Beck kind of got onto the
onto like his realms, own right? stuff, basically.
Yeah. There's stereopathic soul manure, which is why I like hadn't really heard it, because a week later, is that really true? A week later? That's yeah. A week later, after Stereopathic Soul Manure released, his first, like, quote-unquote major label release, Mellow Gold, came out.
Mm-hmm.
So it just coolly got eclipsed by that. And it's weird, because I hadn't heard that even since then. But Mellow Gold's definitely the first album I heard of.
Kind Beck's, of his first, like, official album, if that makes any sense.
It gave Beck his first hit, Loser.
Loser, which is a huge hit.
One of the songs in the 90s.
100%.
Yeah.
There's a lot of good stuff in that album.
Yeah, and I think that Loser captures what I mean by, like, his style of, like, anti-folk or, like, trash rock, because it's, like, kind of grungy, it's kind of, like, southern, it's got that twang to it, I guess, if you will, but, like, it's still, like, a very, like, sophisticatedly produced song. So it's not meant to be, like, disrespect at all. It's just, like, trying to describe the aesthetic without having much to go off of. Other, like, delightful songs on the album that you have up. Nightmare Hippie Girl. It's close to home. Beer Can. Beer out of the sack. Everybody been over twice. Hitting the walls, throwing some dice. Leaping up into the air, getting juiced up beyond belief. And they were singing like this. Why don't throw in frisbees at the sun? Put my soul between the bone. Now I'm running down drunk. Now I'm running like a flaming pig. Beer Can's one of my favorites. I was just listening to it before just because it definitely hits that aesthetic they were going for, like he was going for in the album, super perfectly.
Mm-hmm. And then we have...
I just want to say shout out to Beck because his first single was called MTV Makes Me Want to Smoke Crack.
In 93, it's like already knowing that MTV was going down the shitter.
Yeah, like that's how hot Beck came in. But yeah, go ahead and
continue. So then you had Odelay?
No, One Foot in the Grave.
One Foot in the Grave? Was that before?
Yeah.
Sorry, it was before.
Yeah, so One Foot in the Grave was... It was actually... It's weird. It was recorded before Mellow Gold and wasn't released till after. Because it was recorded on an independent label. Or not because, but, like, it was recorded on an independent label, kind of like, Stereopathic Soul Manure. So it's a little bit separate from, like, the Beck regular things. But,
Okay.
It's super complicated. Basically, it's an album that's kind of even preceding, Mellow Gold that came out afterwards.
Okay.
But, it even got, like, a reissue sometime in, like, the 2000s, and it's a really nice way to kind of see Beck's older style in that.
Right.
Now we can continue on to Odelay.
Now there's Odelay, which was kind of the first album I really listened to Beck.
Right.
I guess, because obviously you hear Loser, but I never really got into it, but the first one that I really dove into was Odelay when I was a kid, basically. You have Devil's Haircut, you have... Derelict, whatever.
New Pollution?
No, after New Pollution.
Hot Wax. Derelict,
there we go. God damn it. I've never been able to say that because, you know, I can barely speak English as is. Put my eyes in a paper bag. Spinning round like a gambling. That was the first one that introduced me to Beck, really, and I liked it a lot. And then ever since then, it's been like every album has been since then, like, what are you getting from? And I really like that.
Every album's been a bit of a grab bag. Beck kind of followed, I would say, kind of a Radiohead-ish kind of continuation, in the sense where, like, he started out as one thing, and it commercially just... it was successful, but commercially it was kind of hell for him. Because Beck got this, like, he got kind of, like, railed by the media, or at least, like, the music, like, the music critic media, there we go. He got kind of railed by them for being fake, or, like, not really being who he is genuinely. His whole, like, loser shtick, people just weren't really into. And, or at least the critics weren't really into at the time. And it, Beck described it as, like, feeling like he was constantly trying to prove himself, and, like, wanted to prove that he was more than, like, a one-hit wonder. And so he had that kind of chip on his shoulder kind of going in afterwards, because it's definitely weird. You're a new person, you're definitely not mainstream, although, like, this almost, like, post-grunge kind of vibe that Mellow Gold had is, like, Loser being a mainstream hit that it was, definitely defied a lot of odds, but wasn't too out of whack, I guess. But definitely Loser was such a smash hit that it would leave someone like Beck with, like, an axe to grind, with something to prove.
Yeah, and then he was only known for that at the beginning.
Yeah.
You know, exactly like with one-hit wonders, and he's like, I don't want to be a one-hit wonder.
Right.
Basically.
Odelay, I'm trying to look at how Odelay did. It did pretty well in the charts, actually.
I heard it a lot.
Double platinum.
Yeah.
We did really well around the world, and yeah, it kind of proved that, like, Beck is not just, like, a one-trick pony, which is really great. Mutations. How did you feel about that album?
First off, what year is Mutations?
Mutations would have been...
Odelay was...
Mutations was 1998.
98? Okay, yeah, 2 years after. I don't remember too much of Mutations because I don't listen to it now.
To be honest, honestly, me neither. I think I listened to it one through, and...
Because it was hard, because Midnight Vultures came out right after, and that's one that we've both listened to a lot.
Yeah, it's... What is... I don't know. I mean, I don't know. Because, yeah, definitely in this early time, especially compared to now, Beck was producing a lot of music very quickly. And I think that maybe just
rapidly.
And, you know, it's like here and there, like... Mellow Gold did pretty well. Odelay also did, like, kind of cut up for that. The other three albums, which were kind of before Beck's time, I guess you could say, didn't, but I guess we wouldn't count that.
Let's not count that.
Mutations was the first, like, kind of iffy one. I'm looking at the track list, and I guess I saved a couple of these in here for some playlist, but, the album just wasn't too special to me. It's this odd middle point, and... To be honest, this is kind of how I feel about... Let me get this down correctly.
Of what?
There's... The Bends is right. It's the way I feel about Mutations is kind of how I feel about The Bends, is that it's, as its own album, like, all right, but it's more like... it's the intermediary between two different eras.
Yeah, big time.
Yeah.
Okay, that's...
That's what I meant to say.
Yeah.
It's the intermediary.
The bridge to the other side,
basically. Yeah, it's before, like, Beck... It's, like, Beck went from this, like, grungy 90s thing to kind of just all over the place.
And which then brings us to Midnight Vultures. Which is Midnight Vultures, which is whatever he wanted to do, where you had Nicotine and Gravy, which is... Holy hell, that's a good song. I think we're going crazy. The left eye is lazy. She looks so... It was funny because I forget that the album cover is that, and I looked at it, I go, Midnight Vultures, what the hell?
Midnight Vultures.
And then I listen to it, I go, oh, this album, idiot, I know what this is.
If I could start a band, I'd call it Midnight Vultures.
Right? That'd be a really cool band name, not gonna lie.
Yeah, but there are so many, like, this is one of the first Beck albums that, like, I wasn't really picking and choosing songs. I was really listening to it all through, and I really liked it.
Mm-hmm.
Charts-wise, I need to check how it did, but, some of my favorite songs on there, I mean, like, most of them. Sex Laws, I really liked. Nicotine and Gravy is just a classic. Hollywood Freaks is probably my favorite song on the album.
the night that makes you scream. Be a $20 million fantasy. Treat you real good, expensive jeans. Hollywood freaks on the Hollywood scene.
Dress you real good if you want a piece.
Hear my love.
Funny people know I'm that type of freak.
Talking about Mercedes, probably have my baby. Shop at Old Navy, you wish she was a lady.
And
Hollywood freaks is pretty good.
Yeah, Hollywood freaks on the Hollywood scene. I love it.
Yeah.
Sorry, I was getting the charts up for that. It did better than Mutations. 743,000 copies, so it got certified gold. And yeah, it was released in 99.
Yeah.
And so
then after that, he took a
good break, which I think definitely was like deserved, and
he made Sea Change, which I love. Is a Sea Change.
Now, before you go into this, this is a good example of a musician taking some time, stepping back from what they're doing, figuring out their sound, and then like
trying something different,
reinventing and coming back.
Because Sea Change is all acoustic, pretty much. I mean, the Golden Age is the opening track on Sea Change is one of my favorite Beck songs.
Treacherous road with a desolated view. This distant light, hear that far and
few. That and End of the Day is pretty damn good. Sunday Sun. It's really good. I liked it for acoustic. I know Dan didn't like it too much.
Yeah.
But I loved it. I remember when I listened to it. Even my dad and I really liked that.
The general vibe with Beck songs is that I tend to like the more upbeat ones, and the kind of slower ones I'm not too much of a fan of, but I still admire them for their like production quality, I would say. And that's like kind of my bias going into it. So Sea Change didn't really like go on my radar too much, but I do admire like how nice it sounds acoustically as well.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's Güero,
which
spelled Guero for the gringos out there.
And then E-Pro was the opening track on that, which just boom.
When E-Pro came out, I think that really solidified Beck. And, like, with Güero, because, like, people don't really know this, like, album Güero on its own, but some of the albums and some of the songs that came from this album solidified Beck as an alternative rock staple.
Yeah, and really somebody to... You never knew what you were getting from him.
Yeah, because, like, that point, you were expecting, like, the loser guy, but no, it's not at all, like, what he made in the 90s. And at that point, Güero came out in 2005. That would have been, like, more than 10 years since Mellow Gold.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's a lot of evolution. And really, like I said, around Midnight Vultures is where Beck gets super interesting to me. But Güero's amazing. What songs did I like? Yeah, E-Pro, Que Onda Güero, Black Tambourine, Hell Yes. There's a remix of Hell Yes, and I forget. It's on Güero Lito, which was a remix album. It's called Ghetto Chip Malfunction. And I love that remix of it. I was even my ringtone for a while. Like, I dig that song.
Cliche, wasted, hate, taste, that's Hell Yes. Now I'm moving this way, I'm doing this thing.
Please enjoy.
Hell Yes. Now I'm turning it on, now I'm working my legs. Hell Yes. Now I'm calling you out, I'm switching my place.
Please enjoy.
Hell yes. Now I'm cleaning the floor. My beat is correct.
Yes.
Yeah, that's it. And then you have the year after, which is The Information.
Which is truly my favorite Beck album.
Which is just as my favorite thing, which is experimental. Do something weird and try it. And that's this entire album. It's just electronic. It's weird. He was trying different sounds. I mean, it's 06, so
it's 06 primitive. Electronic alternative rock.
Yeah.
It's that mix. It's like you know, it matches perfectly with what was alternative back then. Like, Demon Days had just come out. Mm-hmm. And it was definitely an alternative rock album, but had a lot of synths, had a lot of keyboards. Mm-hmm. And it was, like, layered in the background of the song. Not overstated, but just as one of the other instruments, yes. Which is what I think it should, like, lean more towards. But
so you have We Dance Alone and Suffolkstead, which are our two favorites on that album.
Tried to get back on the world as I was turning around. Splinters and pieces from a life that crashed. Watching every minute of the wreckage pass. Cause motions wound down all my thoughts until they all smoothed out like rocks we tossed. Looks and breaks of a while to go. But we centered on the memories down and below.
Yeah,
Shit.
So on one of our favorite shows, From the Basement, a show that, I forget where it airs usually, but these artists just come to
one or something like that, maybe.
Yeah, these artists just go to this like special studio in a basement somewhere. I forget who has it, but
and they record live.
Yeah, and they just record live sets. And so Beck's Information Sessions from the Basement were really nice.
Crap.
They did a really nice version of Motorcade and the Horrible Fanfare. Yeah, and Cell Phone's Dead.
And the craziest thing is, you could tell Beck did some damn good spoken word in there too. Like, it's randomly opened up like. Damn.
So this was the album that Beck did a lot of his like rapping, like spoken word kind of thing. That it's definitely not like this is not near the other rap of the day, right? Like
no,
but Beck, stay in your lane. But like it's different, and I like the spoken wordedness. Beck has his own flow, if you will, that is definitely unique, and it works well with his music. I don't get the sense, like, when he's rapping, he's, like, trying to be a rapper.
Mm-mm.
He's just doing spoken word in his own kind of, like, quick, irreverent, really, like, subtly witty way. And that's what really comes out on this album. I really appreciate the Information for that.
Video of Modern Guilt.
Right, Modern Guilt, yeah. And the Information, that's when... So, after Wero, that's... Other than, Odelay and Mellow Gold, that's where Beck, as far as like mainstream, kind of started to dip down.
Yes,
as far as sales
big
go.
Time.
The Information, because it was experimental by nature, was even then it was a great album and definitely one of Beck's best in my opinion. That experimentalness just it didn't sell super well. Modern Guilt was right after that.
Mm-hmm.
And Modern Guilt for me was a lot more low key of an album. I didn't like it as much, but some of the songs that came from it.
Some of the songs were big. Were some of his biggest songs.
Gamma Ray. Like, Modern Guilt itself.
Modern Guilt won't get me to bed. Say what you will.
Those were just top charters, you know, like just everywhere in the radio and just pumped it out.
Yeah.
So it's interesting how that happens. That's more of an alternative album compared to the Information. So it just shows you like the evolution of him because he goes back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And speaking of the back and forth, you go from...
Before we move on, I just want to say that Modern Guilt was like, as far as tempo goes, because that's another thing I love paying attention to. Mm-hmm. Modern Guilt was definitely, like, a lower tempo, like, held back album. Like, Gamma Ray had, like, definitely had, like, wasn't totally downbeat, but it was this beginning of Beck to kind of go down into more, like, slower, soulful kind of things, as opposed to kind of the, like, fast-pacedness of Wero or The Information, if you get what I mean.
Right.
It starts to go a little more down-key.
Yeah, and then after that you go to his latest album.
Morning Phase.
Which goes back to the acoustic stuff they did in Sea Change.
So Modern Guilt came out in July of 2008.
And Morning Phase came out
in February of 2014. So again, a lot of time for Beck to... And he wasn't like... I remember this time pretty decently. He wasn't totally silent.
He was doing tours and he was doing different appearances.
He was touring a little bit, appearances a little there, but like not too much. He was definitely kind of going into his like own little things, I guess, but... Yeah, Morning Phase comes out. I remember you can buy the CD in every single Starbucks in the world.
Seriously. It was good. I liked it. It took me a while to get into it because I wasn't expecting an acoustic album. But, I mean, Blue Moon is one of my favorite songs of the past 5 years, probably.
Sang a lot. Yeah.
It's such a good song. That was released, I go, holy crap. He's like, Beck still has it. The album as a whole was just solid. It wasn't anything special. It was kind of like Sea Change, where I liked it a lot, but I want to see more experimental, more upbeat stuff in that way. But that's just personal preference.
I think the issue I have with Beck, which is like a blessing and a curse, is that because you'd never know what to expect from your music, from his music, you oftentimes set these unrealistic expectations.
Exactly.
And I find myself doing this with the upcoming album, but coming back to Morning Phase just specifically, when I think of Beck, I still very much think about, not necessarily as experimental as The Information, but still, like, you know, fun and quirky and this. And this Beck, Morning Phase Beck and Sea Change Beck, is more reflective, like, kind of
deep,
sort of calm.
Thought woke.
Deep. Beck. Kind of, right? Not necessarily, like, wokes and, like, any sort of political knowledge per se. Just using this as a joke. But like
it is a joke.
But like it's a deeper, more emotional side to him. And some albums lean heavily in one direction like that. That's like my direction. Some lean heavier in the Morning Phase Sea Change direction.
Yeah.
All in all, it's great work. It's just that's why I was really lukewarm about Morning Phase. It always gave me this kind of like, okay, this is like low key Beck. This is kind of like Sea Change. This is Morning. Wow, this is kind of like what I guess Beck is going towards, because the album before that was kind of low key, and then it continued to be even more and more low key. And so,
but then lately, all of his singles and stuff have been the polar opposite. Like,
so wait, before we go to the singles, I do want to point out like that Beck won a Grammy for Morning Phase.
He did,
and like, I was upset.
Like, got big, and no one expected that.
Yeah, really? It was a whole upset because I want to. I'm looking for album of the. I'm looking for album of the year, and Kanye West thought like Beyonce should have like won it, and there's this whole other things. Pharrell was so there. The issue was, I forget all the names, but I think Beyonce and Pharrell and a bunch of other people were nominated for Album of the Year.
Oh, that's right, because Girl was out from Pharrell.
Yeah.
Too, and there's a lot of good albums that year. He just was the super underdog.
Yeah, and the like that threw everyone for a loop, because like people who had known of Beck were like, oh yeah, Beck won a Grammy. Like, I think he's, you know, that's good for Beck.
Yeah.
But there are a lot of people who hadn't heard him, especially because compared to the artist he was going for from Album of the Year, like generationally, it was just so different.
Yeah, especially because he's not mainstream.
Yeah, he's not Pharrell Williams, nor is he Beyonce.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, he's many things. He's very talented and a great musician, but he's neither of those. And that's what he was going up against for Album of the Year. And so for the mainstream, it was very shocking that Beck won. But, like, that's kind of how it works. It's a committee of people who choose, and it was kind of like a split vote.
Yeah.
But with that, he kind of jumped out of that, and since then, Beck has been very promising for my side of things. The side that likes the super like fast paced, up and peppy Beck. Because the first single that came out was Dreams in 2015.
Which was on FIFA.
Yeah, and it's just this like peppy, happy, crazy, like wild rock song. And then WoW came out in 2016.
To make fun. Fun of rap culture, basically, and fun of music culture in general.
Yeah.
But it ended up being a good song.
Yo, Talkie Monster did a remix of WoW. I didn't know that, actually.
That's really dope.
I'll have to listen to that. That's really dope. And then there have been a couple singles coming out because Beck has now announced that Colors, the album that's coming out next week, was a thing. And so since then, before we listened to these singles, because, well, A, there was no audio face, there was no rule, but Beck hadn't announced that he was even doing an album. We just kind of took these singles as they were. Like,
yeah.
Beck didn't say he's doing anything, but hey, here's a new Beck song, and
it's good.
In my opinion, other than Morning Phase, one of the best Beck song Beck has made in 10 years were some of these singles.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
Fault. And they actually became pretty mainstream, too, which I was surprised.
Yeah.
That Beck would put out something like that. But it's not bad mainstream.
Right.
By
mainstream as in, like,
people like it.
People listen to it and like it and can recognize it.
And it's on the radio, and it's not overplayed, either.
Yeah.
It's in fucking FIFA, too. Which...
Yeah.
He has, like, 3 damn songs in each... The past 3 FIFAs, I go, God damn it, Beck.
Yep, and that all leads to this week when we get to listen to Colors. To it,
and then we'll let you know. But just want to give you a little quick discography.
Oh, also, Beck's a Scientologist.
I'm not gonna do that. My shit on my podcast. Ah!
And that's where we go no politics and hit the brakes.
just like tempted to just hit cut now.
Right.
So, hope you all enjoyed that. Here is the Colors review, and there's a part at the end that I think is quite interesting with kind of what we talked about with Beck's ideas, all of the things, and yeah, I'll talk a little bit about it after.
This is his 13th studio album. It's like
insane.
Such a long career. And it's Seriously. Colors. It's his first one since Morning Phase, which, like, won him Album of the Year, amazingly.
Right, I'm still surprised that happened. Presently.
Right? Yeah. But this album is definitely different sounding in aesthetic. I think what I kind of predicted back, not to, like, toot my own horn, but, like, what I predicted back in the preview episode, that hopefully this album would be, like, a return to the more upbeat, like, more energetic kind of Beck. I think I was kind of right. So, go me. I'm the best. And, Sean, what are your thoughts?
Fuck. Okay. I mean, that's, I said, I'm like, I just want him to try something different and sound experimental. And, yeah, it pretty much was. I mean, at certain songs. It was, like, really, really upbeat and happy. There was only one song. Was it No Distraction? Everyone's, like, the acoustic. Or starts, slow. Whatever
I don't
that
think
one
No
was.
Distraction started slow. I was gonna mention No Distraction is sounding eerily like Feel Good Inc.
Hold on, I can't remember what song it was. I have to listen to it again. There was one song that just didn't fit the flow of the album, and the rest of it was perfect, pretty much, like, flow-wise. It was good to hear upbeat Beck. I like upbeat Beck, and, that was really nice to hear. All the songs are pretty chill and good. The only thing that was kind of whack was that he used, I knew this was going to happen, but he used a bunch of his songs that he released 2 years ago and whatnot. Which I thought was kind of whack, but it's whatever. Because they're good songs, but I mean, that's 2015.
I'm not, you know, too upset because, like, it's really just more like he released his singles and the album that came out with those singles just, like, very, very far in advance. Like, there's a long distance between when Dreams came out, like, back in summer 2015, to now. But, like, it's not like we've heard the entire album. I mean, we've heard About Night kind of recently, but the audio face rule, we didn't talk about that. We heard Wow, and we heard Colors, I believe.
Maybe we heard Wow, that. Colors, and Up All Night.
Yeah. And Dreams, but, like...
And Dreams.
Okay.
Yeah.
We heard 4 singles. That's about usually what you get from an album. And...
Right, I mean, it's just, it was so spread apart, that's the problem.
That's true. The album has effectively 10 songs. I'm not counting, the Dreams Color mix versus the Dreams, like, other mix.
Yeah, it's bullshit.
Whatever. It's not really, like, radically different to really be called, like, oh, this is, like, a different mix. Whereas, like, some of the Roosevelt mixes are, like, they sound a little different. The Nightmares mixes. But no, I generally liked the album. Yeah, it was a return to more upbeat Beck. It felt a little experimental at times, like sort of information, but not too radically.
No, he just, it sounded like he tried something different, but not crazy enough to be super different. He's like, hey, I have this like sound I've only used a couple of times. Let me like tap into that again. If it makes any sense. I really liked it.
Yeah, I would
I want to listen to it right now. It's good. I'm really happy.
I'm definitely going to be listening to it later today for sure. It's just like, it's a really peppy album. But I did definitely have, the biggest problem I had with it is just, it's, like, I guess the theme is that, like, the best and worst thing about this album, and like the Gucci Mane and the Wu-Tang Clan thing, like the best and worst thing about the album is the same thing. So the best and worst thing about the Gucci Mane album is that it's trap. And the best and worst thing about the Wu-Tang Clan album is that it's, like, uncle rap.
Yeah,
it's like straight from 1994, right?
Right.
And, like, we've talked about it, the ability to, you can make things, like, newer, but still make them fresh, but still make them, like, clear callbacks to an era you were from. I think Tribe Called Quest did that tremendously. Like, fantastically with their last album. But with this, this was Beck's most refined sounding album to me, taking the best of, like, many of his eras of music. I'd say 2000 and past that. Doesn't really sound like old Beck at all, like Lose Your Beck from Mellow Gold, right? But
no, not at roughly all. Roughly, it's evolution of it.
Not even evolution, just, like, doesn't... There's not much of that I see anywhere in the album, really, except for the fact that Beck is not afraid to sound a little bit, like, off-kilter, if you will. Like, Wow, I kind of just want to, like, show how much I kind of appreciate, because musically, it sounds like a cynical take of 2017 that's self-aware of itself.
It came out in 16 to make fun of trap.
Yeah.
That's literally what the song is.
So, like, I like that it's a song that's self-aware and makes fun of trap, also, like, kind of using that element. And, like, Beck can do that because that's his character. So, in a sense, the pre-2000s Beck is kind of there in character. But musically, this is post-2000s Beck. And it's a great refinement of all of those sounds, and, like, what was the best from those things, without including too much of the worst, which is good. But
right.
I think, like, as far as musically, I think Beck has reached sort of, like, a plateau in his career with what he's able to do creatively. Too many of these songs are starting to kind of sound like slight variations on some of his older songs, and that's just because he's been making songs for so long. And, like...
Yeah, I think, to me, this is going to be his last good album, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, I think that... Like, and this happens kind of even with Gorillaz, too, like, and with Damon Albarn. Like, some of his, like, newer songs just sound like different takes on older songs, because ultimately it's the same brain has created hundreds of songs. Like, it's going to eventually do slight repetitions of, like, bits of each other. But I think what Beck needs to do to continue, like, really pushing his music and, like, music forward, especially, like, the alternative music genre, is to start collaborating with people.
And so he said that was Colors. So that was Beck's latest album, going into the hyperspace, which is coming soon. That was very interesting because we both had the thing of might need to be Damon Albarn and do a little hiatus, get away from music. But his first single, which was Saw Lightning, I did quite enjoy, which came out in April of this year. And it still sounded a little Colors-y, which was my only gripe of it, but it still did have a good sound. I need to look up, and we'll know more in 2 weeks, if when he recorded everything, because I don't know if he did the Anderson .Paak or the 1975 of you had like one big ass recording session and you kind of brought it up in two things, or if he recorded other things. But we'll know that in 2 weeks' time when we get the actual album and get that up. So yeah, be sure to not miss it and get reviews of Coldplay as well, and the little quick episode too, so you can finally understand my deep solitude for Chris Martin and the boys for being sellouts and also being one of my favorite bands. That's, I think, the only person or only band that does that and can do break my heart 24/7. So there's that. Be sure to do that. But thanks for listening. This has been a special, you know, CNN report of Audio Face. Da 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 do do do. It's like the little world revolving logo thing. It's about Audio Face. You know, I gotta do something cringy at the end. So thanks for listening, and we'll see you at the next fun episode. Cheers, guys.